when they were done, they were all then able to airdrop it back to me. They had to design a house for a bear as part of learning about measurement.
iPads? Does anybody even use? Wait, no, I do. We're going to learn some iPad stuff next.
And now, it's time for another edulicious episode of the Bentley Brothers Podcast, bringing you what's current and what works in education. Here are your hosts, Scott and Tim Bentley.
Bentley Brothers, Bentley, Bentley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Bentley Brothers, yep. Bentley, Bentley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Yep. First name Bentley, last name Brothers, bringing education information.
That's like right, Scott. Today on the show, we've got the great, the one and only Karen Lehrenman. I hope I said that right.
She did.
She's an Apple Distinguished Educator, Google Innovator, ISTE Award recipient, and a five-time Iron Woman.
The brand is Iron Man. You can't change the brand name. So
gotcha.
We can. Okay.
You don't look like an Iron Man to me. I don't know. She's really in shape. But the best thing is she's written a book called Innovating with iPads. Is that right, Karen? Did I get the title?
Innovate with iPads, Lessons to Transform Learning. Yes.
Awesome. Well, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Why don't you just kick it off and tell us a little bit about your book? Why would teachers want to read it?
Awesome. Okay, so the book we've written is called Innovate with iPad, and it's co-authored with Kristen Wydeen from Windsor, Ontario. And what it is, it's a set of lessons based around five key apps, because what we found is that there's probably over 60,000 apps in the App Store, but most of those apps are consumption apps, where kids are pushing buttons and swiping to do what the iPad wants them to do or the program wants them to do. And Kristen and I were given iPads, and we realized there is so much more that these devices can do. Yet we work with young students, and so we wanted to come and help show teachers what's possible with the iPad using just a few, like five key simple apps and the various ways that once those kids, your students are fluent in those apps, they're able to create their own content and show what they actually know. Because I find as teachers, we tend to limit the ceiling on our activities, and we say, you know, we want you to answer these math questions, or we want me to, you know, to write, answer these reading questions. But when you give them an iPad where they're actually creating their own content and they're showing you what they know, you're always blown away by what's possible and what our youngest learners are capable of doing independently.
So you're talking kindergartners?
Yeah, I actually teach this year kindergarten through third grade, or in Canada we say grade three. So I have a kindergarten, grade one, grade two, grade three combined classroom, and they're all able to create their own content using iPad. And granted, it's different as they're more capable as learners, but everyone's able to create their own content. Absolutely.
Karen, give us a picture of what a kindergartner can create using an iPad, because I love to go visit kindergartners, and my classes, I have a 4-5 combination class. We're not looped like a lot of people do in Canada, but we go and we're big buddies for a kindergarten class. And I would love for us to go down with our iPads and just wow them and get them creating. So give us an idea.
Well, at the kindergarten level, an app that my kids tend to like to use is called PicLosh. And it's such a simple, it's a collage making app. And at the most basic, you think, oh, they can take pictures and make things look pretty. But you can actually use it for so many different things. So for example, if my kindergartners are looking for 3D shapes or 2D shapes in the real world, they can grab that iPad, they can go around the school, they can take photos, and then they can make a collage with the various photos that they have. If they're able to type in text, they can type in text and you know, say what the various shapes are. They can take a picture of just in their classroom, and they can use the pen tool, and they can highlight, like annotate the different shapes that they are actually seeing in their environment. Switch that over to like a letter sounds and letter words. They can look for things that start with, if say we're working on the letter B or they're familiar with the SH sounds, they can look around the classroom and they can find objects that begin with those letters. So it's not me creating some kind of worksheet for them where they're coloring it in, but they're actually creating their own content. If they know, you know, say they're actually know word families or rhyming words, they can do those kind of things. So it's very open in terms of what they do. And so your different kids will do totally different things. And what's nice is you'll also get them to, they'll do things wrong. And they don't realize it. So it also gives you that teaching tool of being able to create. Another app that we've used at kindergarten and actually across all my three grades is Book Creator.
Hey, and Karen, let me say also on that, have you used the Pick? I think that's the, what's the app called that you just mentioned again?
I said Pick Collage.
Pick Collage. Okay, is that the app that you can actually put video in part of it as well?
You can actually search. I don't know that you can upload, or maybe you can, I haven't yet.
I think I have before, because I've used it. I haven't used it for educational purposes, but I've used it to create, like, if I have a birthday party with one of my kids or something, you can put a photo, you know, down on the bottom left and a photo down on the bottom right, and then I take the top piece and make it kind of widescreen type, you know, size, and you can add a little video in there, I think, too, and that really opens up the possibilities, doesn't it?
Totally. But even if you don't use that and you take that, what you've created, and just being able to annotate and add voice, and that's sort of where I'm going with Book Creator, is that Book Creator, you think, is just a a bookmaking app, but we did an inquiry on pumpkins, and we were looking at, you know, how many seeds we think and all of our wonders and the various things that we wanted to know. I created one Book Creator template. I airdropped it off to every student in my class, K through 3, and the kids could then access it. So my K's, if they didn't have the writing skills, they could use their voice to record their information, their ideas. If they had some writing skills, just the basic writing skills, they could use the drawing and pencil tools to actually do their writing within the book. The kids that could use the typing tool, they could then type their text in, and we could add in videos, we could add in selfie videos we just took of doing an experiment or showing us how we were measuring something. And it was a really powerful tool to create and collect information that they were creating, and it didn't matter what grade level they were at, they all had an entry point. And so I got totally, well, they all started with the same frame or book template, they all created completely and totally different artifacts of learning based on where they were at and at their own success level.
Karen, I think there's some gold that you just brushed over in there. Okay. And you said you create a template and airdrop it. And I think this is something that for a teacher who maybe is not there, this is a brilliant concept. Can you talk and share a little bit more about that? Because I think this is something that if you don't know how to do and you have iPads, you got to know how to do this.
Yeah, and I will bring it back to a very simple, like a class book that we did. So with the latest Air iPads, I mean, I don't know about the version 2s, but I think beyond that, you're able to turn on AirDrop where any iPad can hear, it can see another iPad in a close proximity through the Wi-Fi that you have available to you. And so what happens is I go into Book Creator and I create a very basic template. So we celebrate Remembrance Day, or we remember our veterans on Remembrance Day. And so Todd Parr wrote this really great book called Peace Is. And so I set up a template where there was a cover that said Peace Is by Division 17, which is my class. And then I put a few pages of just Peace Is and just blank pages. My kids all turn on their on their iPads, and I've shown them how to have AirDrop on, or AirDrop on is all the time. And it's just a little swipe up, and you'll see, I'm trying to think what the icon looks like, but you'll just see this little icon, and you can
like a rock hitting into a pond, and then it has this
the waves
like
out.
Target. Yeah.
And so you have that turn on for everybody, and then I literally open up in Book Creator, and I go to share my book, the template that I've made, and I share it through AirDrop, and then all their iPads show up, and I just touch each of their iPads. And then the book shows up on their iPad, and they say, do you want to accept it? Do you not? And, you know, they say yes. And then they've got their own version. They then can go work in their own area. So in this case, the Pieces book, some kids drew, some kids added voice, some kids, you know, added text, and they, you know, knew the concept, and they had the criteria they had to meet, but they all did it at their own level. When they were done, they were all then able to AirDrop it back to me. So I say, oh, what iPad are you? Okay, so I'm iPad 1, I think I'm 178, send it back to me. So the iPad, their work would then come back to me. I then was able to combine what they made all into one book within my Book Creator app. You can combine all the books you have into one. And then I could rearrange the pages, delete the pages that we didn't need. And then we had a whole class book. And what's nice is with multi-age, they're all able, they all did it at their own level. So some were far more complicated than others, but everybody was able to be successful. And I didn't sort of set the frame and this is the only way you can do it. It allowed for kids to be able to put in video or whatever they needed to do to make their personality show and their knowledge show through.
Wow, that's beautiful. So we got Pick Collage, and the second one's called Book Creator.
Book Creator, yeah.
Book Creator is like a must-have on an iPad. I'm now serious.
And it does cost, Book Creator does cost, but it's worth every penny. Picklage, we use the free version, and one of the you can do a paid version that's just for school, but we go with the free version, and we have that conversation. Like if you're searching within Picklage, you can actually search for images. So if you're doing research on something, you can actually find a specific image of something that you need. That's Creative Commons, and it's either cited or they're allowed to use it. But sometimes you'll get images that are not appropriate, but we have that conversation with my kids. You know, what happens when you do that? And because I can block and block and block and block, but then you never learn. And I would rather the odd mistake, and I mean, it's never really happened. But it, you know, that they need to know how to handle when they see something they know they shouldn't. They need to know the right and the wrong, that kind of thing. But moving on from Book Creator, Picklage, another one we love, and it used to cost, but now it's free, is called Drawntel, and it's more for your K-2 age. And it's a really simple app. I don't think it was ever made for education, but it allows kids to upload their own images as well as create. And what my kids will do, they do a lot, I mean, they're young learners, they do a lot of hands-on learning, where they're creating and building and constructing. They can then take a photo of what they've built, and then they can annotate right within the Drawntel app, and they can record. What's nice about the Drawntel app is if the kids touch the screen, they can record as they go, and a little blue dot will show up. And so, you know, if they've got a pattern, they can point to the pattern, or, I mean, we used it when my kids they had to design a house for a bear as part of learning about measurement. And so they built these houses for the bears, they took a snapshot of it, and then they went back and measured the various pieces and annotated that right onto the image that they were able to upload. And so it sort of bridges the hands-on with the digital learning. So you've kind of got both pieces, which I think in the early years is so important.
Oh, so vital. I'm glad that you made that connection, because, you know, I always cringe a little bit when people go too digital at too young of an age and they lose those conceptual, tactile experiences.
But I think what's also important with, you know, the Drawntel or going from non-digital to digital is that adding that voice piece. And we learn so much more about our learners when they're able to actually talk about their work and reflect on our work. I mean, I'm really fortunate. I work in an environment where our assessment is all portfolio based. And so my kids are constantly reflecting on what they've done well, where they struggled, where they want to go next. And from K up, like that's not just a, you know, grade 3 thing or third grade thing. That's just how we roll. And it's really interesting when they do their things, especially when they think they've got it and they understand it, you really can catch their learning and where they're struggling when they actually have to talk about it. You know, it's one thing to do it, but to actually talk about what you did. We just, as the teacher, I get so much more. And then the parents are seeing the stuff they're creating, so they're also getting so much more.
Yeah, that's when you ask them limited questions that they have to just answer what you're looking for, you miss out on so much information that the kids may have, you know, been able to share with you. It's cool to do it that way.
Or you look and you think they don't understand something, or they do understand something, and then you realize, whoa, they got it right,
totally.
But they don't understand. They didn't understand it. I mean, I have all these parents that are teaching their kids how to borrow and carry in math, and these kids can't break numbers apart. So if it's 62 plus 47, they don't know that it's 60 plus 40 and 2 plus 7. They can't, you know, it's like they don't understand the math. Yeah, they have the logarithm they can carry and borrow and no problem, but they don't actually understand what they're doing. And so with iPad, you can catch all of that as well, because, you know, use an app like Explain Everything, a whiteboard app, where you can actually capture as, you know, they can annotate as they're going and record as they're going. So you can actually see, you know, A, how they're forming their letters or their numbers based on how it's showing up on the screen, plus where they're making mistakes or where they're overconfident or where they really get it beyond where I realize that they got it.
And it's hard for kids to explain themselves academically. You know, I mean, we get so upset because kids talk too much and they talk at the wrong times, but you ask them to actually explain something and to talk about something, and that's a challenge for kids, you know? And so it's good practice for them, I think, to do that. Now, Karen, you've gotten through, is Explain Everything one of your five apps as well?
It is one of our five, yeah.
Okay, so we don't want to give everybody the all five because we want them to get your book.
Oh, okay.
But now, does this add an extra burden for the teacher? Because, I mean, to grade a paper that a kid has written out, I can flip through and do quite a few pretty quickly, you know, but if I'm having to then listen to some audio that a student's recorded, I mean, this sounds kind of time consuming, is it?
Well, I think you have to think about quality over quantity. And I think you're looking for the quality work and letting the kids, they can make a whole bunch of different learning artifacts, but they can submit, like in our case, like I say, we work on digital portfolios, the kids will choose their work they're most proud of to upload. And I can, along the way, I mean, we can do that along the way, so I can have a variety of samples of reading or samples of writing or samples of a math concept over time. I find that the value in what you're getting is high. Like it's way higher. So yes, it does may take more time, but it's also not having to mark every single thing or look at every single thing or be aware of every single thing. You know, it's utilizing your peers. Show what you made to someone in the class. Find a partner, work in groups of two, work in groups of three, listen to each other, see if you can help each other. It's building that whole feedback network, not just me, but their classmates and their families, if it's something we've put onto their portfolios or onto their blogs that other people can see. So it's really prioritizing what matters and what's most important. Because I think a lot of times kids just do work to do work. And it's really the quality where they're actually showing what they know or where they're struggling. And so it's that mindset. It's not about, I have to watch and do everything, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That authentic audience. It doesn't always have to be you, right?
Exactly. And if you build a community of learners where people are working and helping one another, it's not a one teacher classroom anymore. It's a however many students you have in your classroom. And that's just far more powerful. And they teach each other. You know, if one person knows something and someone sees it, they want to learn from each other. And iPad makes it easy. It's an easy entry for everybody.
I'm sold. I'm going to go out and I have iPads right now. I'm on it, Tim.
Yeah, that's boy, that's some powerful stuff. I like I said, I've used Picolage, but you just opened my mind to a whole new world of ways to use that in the classroom and innovate with the kids and get them creating using that app. So I really, really like the idea as well. I'm sure you've written a whole book on this, so we could talk for hours and hours and keep picking your brain, but that gives us a real good idea of what's in the book. And are there other things besides mentioning the apps and talking about how you'd use those five apps that are in your book? I mean, what else would what else are readers going to get out of your book?
Well, the key thing is the book is broken down. It's actually into lessons. And so our goal isn't so much that you follow specifically the lessons that we have, that we change your thinking about the iPads you have in your classroom. And so we're sort of showing you, look, you can do this. Oh, I can't. Oh. And the other thing that's nice though about the book specifically is that a lot of teachers just have one or two iPads in their classroom. They don't have for every student. And so there are downloadable task cards for many of the lessons. And so that's been a really key feature for many of the classrooms that just have a few, that they can actually set up a literacy center or set up a numeracy center or go, oh, my kids can self-assess this way, because we have a chapter on self-assessment, that they can use their iPads in those different environments. And when there is a task card available, that it's able to support their kids to be more independent, even when they're not available and they're working with another group of students, or you've got limited number of iPads.
And listen, all you Chromebook people out there, there's nothing wrong with those, but come on, get some iPads in your classrooms.
But the thing is that's kind of come up is many of the apps that we talk about are actually available Chromebook, and the lessons will apply across. So as much as it's an iPad book and it was originally, I mean, what I'd love to do is I'd love to change the way people use their Chromebooks into creation devices. Yes, collaboration is great, but there's way more that you could be doing even with your Chromebooks based on some of the lessons we have in here. So as much as it is totally was written by, you know, it's for iPad, it's if we can change practice on ways people are using technology away from consumption into creation, then we've you know, made a difference in education in the world.
Yes.
That's great stuff, Karen. Okay, well, we're going to switch gears and do your favorite thing now. I know you've been just dying to answer our impossible questions.
Yeah, she's there's a maple leaf on the Canadian flag. I know that. Geography is not my thing, so.
Yeah, you have a much better national anthem than we do. But
we do. We just have to say, oh, Canada a lot.
Yeah. All right, so. Karen, you have written a book about using iPads with kids. So we're going to ask you some questions today about the history of the iPad.
Oh, gosh.
We're calling our little game, I don't know. I have no name for this game. Scott, can you come up with a better name? iHistory. I don't know. It's just.
I think Tim needs to spend more time thinking of titles.
I'll say. Instead of painting my house, huh? I could be thinking of that stuff while I'm painting.
Absolutely, Scott, Tim. Yeah. Multitask. Come on.
And then shame someone could document it with an iPad app, and you'd have a record of your learning.
Okay. There's another idea. Scott, tell our audience who Karen will be competing for today.
Karen, you're going to be competing for Tracy McCandless, a third grade teacher. And if you're able to answer 2 out of 3 questions correctly, Tracy will be awarded a free download of an album by the ridiculously popular edgy rock band, Rockin' the Standards.
And by the way, folks out there that win, make sure you tweet at me and let me know how I can get you your free download, because we've had a few people that haven't collected on their goods, and we really want to give you your winnings. So
yes.
Anyway, here we go with our first question, Karen. The iPad, question number one, the iPad was introduced in April of what year? Do you know? I mean, this is not our question, but do you know?
That's not your question?
No. Just guess.
2011?
You're close. You're close. 2010.
Oh, I was really close.
Yeah, yeah.
April. I didn't get my hands on one until... Man,
the 7 years seems like it's been 70 years to me, Tim.
I know. I can't remember not having iPads, but the iPad was introduced in April of 2010. It continually grew in annual sales until which year?
Ooh,
it actually went down. Was that A?
2013.
Was it B?
2015.
Or was it C?
2012, the year the world was destroyed. Isn't that the Mayan calendar year, Tim?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So your three choices are 2013, 2015, and 2012.
That's not 12, because that's when I got iPads. 15?
2015. That's a correct answer.
Yay!
See, it wasn't so hard. Now, was it? No help or anything.
You don't see my palms.
Okay, question number two. As of August 2016,
Hey, no safariing, too. Is that what you call it? No safariing?
No.
Okay, hands off the keyboard. So a little over a year ago, how many iPads, this is the last time we had statistics on this, how many iPads were selling per minute?
Oh, what?
Per minute. Is it A?
21 iPads per minute.
Is it B?
57 iPads per minute.
Or is it C?
79 iPads per minute.
So one of those is how many iPads we're selling per minute. I'm not sure.
Minute.
That's a lot of iPads a minute. Buying all those iPads every minute? 21, 57, or 79 per minute?
I'm going to go with 57.
57,
That's right.
The highest one. There's 79.
79 per minute?
Per minute.
Oh, wow.
24 hours a
what
day.
What was it at the peak?
All that money that they were making.
Making money.
There still are. Okay. No. All right. We got one more question for you.
Money.
Yeah. Here comes another money question.
Uh-oh.
How much would it cost the average person, like you and me, to charge their iPad each year?
Ooh.
Is it A?
Now, is this in
where you live and what your
Is this euros, Tim, or yen, or dollars?
Dollars, and this is right now.
Are they Canadian dollars or American dollars? There's a big difference.
Yeah, does she have to like
American dollars? So you're gonna have to do the conversion.
Oh,
this may be difficult.
Yeah. You guys are gonna have to help me out here.
Okay. Well, I'll translate each one to the approximate Canadian dollar amount.
Every choice is A. Just kidding.
All right. So is it A?
Is it A?
$1.50 per year.
Or is it B?
$12.85 per year.
Or is it C?
$29 even per year.
So your choices are $1.50, which is about maybe $2 in Canadian dollars per year. Okay. $12.85, which we're talking maybe $15 a year. Or
what is that in Celsius, Tim?
$29 per year, which is, I'm guessing, $36 or so.
Well, I know how much it costs to heat my big apartment in Vancouver. And I would only say it's $1.50.
And you're from Canada and you're saying A?
A, you got it.
And A, you got it. That's right.
Yeah.
$1.50 US
dollars. That's not
bad. Well, yeah, that's a pretty cheap way to live, right? So, Scott, how did Karen do in today's game?
Good job, Karen. You got 2 out of 3 correct.
Awesome.
That's good enough to be a winner.
Now, who's our winner? If our winner lets you guys know, put them in contact with me, and I will actually send them a copy of the book.
Oh, that's awesome.
Look at that.
Congratulations.
Gets a book,
I took him first before I offer that because I didn't want to blow up on the TV. I mean, on the computer, right?
So, yeah. Karen, you've won absolutely nothing, right? But Tracy, she not only wins.
Yeah, Tracy just won a copy of the book.
She wins a copy of the book and the download of the Ridiculous Bobby or I'm wrong. Yeah. You're riding the standards.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Well, yeah. That's people really have heard awesome. That so many times. Why? So thanks for being a good sport, Karen. I know you're nervous about that, but see, you did fine. You didn't need any help or anything. So that was fun.
No, it's all good.
Yeah. And why don't you tell your new fans out there, the watchers and listeners of our show, how they can follow up and get a copy of your book and connect with you and learn from you further.
Awesome. So I'm on Twitter, easy to find, at Kay Lehrman, like K-L-I-R-E-N-M-A-N. Pretty simple. I have a blog and it's, you're not going to get this, believe this, but it's www.kleerman.com. Same spelling. And I'm also available if you want to fire me an email and I go by misslehrman@gmail.com. I'm pretty good at responding to emails. If you have any questions about the book, if you actually, there's a contact through the blog, my personal blog, as well as our book, has a website, www.innovatewithipad.com. There's a contact there. You can always get a hold of us. So if you forget all this or how to spell it, if you put it in. Best place right now to get a book is actually Amazon. They do love us, and so they often will drop our book prices down. I am going to tell you that I don't encourage you to buy the Kindle version. If that's what you can afford, awesome, then buy it. But the hands-on version is just that much better. People say our book is like a recipe book or a cookbook, and it's really easy to follow, and it's safe if you're new to iPad and you admin have given them to you and you're told to use them and you're just not sure. It's a really safe entry point. And then hopefully the goal is that it'll spark you to really innovate with iPad for your own.
So you can, that way you can have the book open right next to your iPad.
Well, totally, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Hey, Karen, Scott, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Well, thanks truly so much for having me. It's always fun and it's a thrill. It's good to see you guys.
Good to see you too.
And
I need a passport. Just saying.
Good point. Scott, what should we tell our audience about besides
well,
they all this
know what we're
going to
talk about next? Global School Play Day, Tim.
It's coming up.
It is coming up, Tim, right now as of recording date, which is right at the end of November, we have more than doubled the registrations for Global School Play Day from last year. And last year we had over 300 or close to 300,000 kids from 51 nations participating in Global School Play Day. And we're going to break a 500,000, Tim. I know it. I hope somehow we can get to 1 million kids. I just imagine all these kids around the world playing and just filled with joy and their teachers watching them and filled with even more joy than they could ever imagine.
Totally true. And so go to globalschoolplayday.com, sign your class up, sign your school up, sign your district up, sign your country up for Global School Play Day. I don't know if you're allowed to do that or not. Are you?
Why not?
Hey, why not?
No, if you don't try.
That's right. That's right. So let us know how many kids are going to be playing, and that adds to the voice, the grassroots movement. It's encouraging the unstructured play for our students that is so underappreciated right now and so missing from their lives. Their lives are scheduled with soccer practice and dance and piano lessons and church, and all these things are good, but kids just never have a time to have to get unbored themselves and innovate. So we have a passion for that, and we want to spread it to the world, and we're hoping that you guys will join us and help spread that passion. And and also, Scott didn't know what I was going to do this, but you need to watch his TED Talk. It just came out this last week, and it's really good.
I did not know you were going to do that, Tim.
Yeah, so he probably doesn't want me to, but I don't care because I'm super proud of him, and the TED Talk is very engaging. So just search Scott Bedley and TED Talk, and you'll find his TED Talk that you can watch. It was in what country again, Scott?
It was in the capital city of Slovakia called Bratislava.
Bratislava sounds like a good pastry or something.
It was a fantastic city you should visit.
I would like to do that. So thanks for listening, everybody. Make sure you go to iTunes and give us a review, and that's how we get word out about the show, because if we just have listens, that doesn't really count much. It's the reviews that count. So I appreciate anybody writing a review for us and giving us some stars. And hope to be talking to you again soon. And thanks for watching, everybody. But most of all, thanks for watching.
Mom and Dad.
Mom and Dad.
Bedley Brothers. Bedley, Bedley Brothers. Bringing education information like no other. Bedley Brothers. Bedley, Bedley Brothers. Bringing